Well, today is the last day. It's the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you know the story. You know the story why we call it the bread of affliction, why the Bible calls it. It means it's the bread that was the bread while they were afflicted. They had to leave Egypt in such haste to get away. And it was called the bread of affliction. Not that the bread afflicts you. I eat unleavened bread most of the year, and I don't do well on yeast bread. So the unleavened bread does not afflict us. It's the bread symbolizing the affliction that the Israelites had in Egypt. So we know the story. We know how this miracle, the plagues came and destroyed this one, and one plague after another. And finally God and Pharaoh, every time the plague happened, okay, I'm going to let you go. And then as soon as the plague went away, no, I'm not going to let you go. And so after a little bit, finally the death of the firstborn, and the people of Egypt are saying, let's get them out of here. You know, we'll all be dead people. And so the Israelites had previously gone out, and the word was, go borrow as much from the Egyptians as you can. We're leaving. You know, I've been a good servant. How about giving me something to remember you by, or helping me on my way? And so people gave them gold chains and this and that. And they left with a lot of material from Egypt. Now, Egypt was a great nation. Egypt was one of the big and greatest nations on earth at that time. But after all the plagues, after the striking of the firstborn, after the Israelites are now thrust out, Egypt was just devastated. They were a mess. And finally, God says, I want you to go out. As you leave, I want you to go this way, then I want you to come back around there, then I want you to camp here between the Migdol and the sea and air. You'll see it in chapter 14. And the Egyptians will say they've lost their way. They don't know what they're doing. We got to go after them. We need them. Our country is in a mess, and we got rid of all these people, the slaves that were, you know, doing all the work for us. We need to get them back. Well, they go here, they go there. And as you know, God was leading them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So they could see that cloud, it looks like a fire, and they would follow it day and night. Wherever they were, it went. It never left them, by the way. And so here they see this miracle, they see all these things, and they come down and they see the Red Sea. Here's where we are. You know, we can't cross. The mountains are on side of us. The Egyptians are coming. Every chariot Egypt had, every one of their best working chariots was, you know, filled with their soldiers coming against the Israelites. And God said, I'm going to get vengeance on Pharaoh. I'm hardening his heart. Now, hardening his heart means doing things to the place where he can't learn. He's not learning anything. Did he learn anything from one plague to the other? No. As soon as the plague stopped, that wasn't a miracle. Well, that wasn't that. You know, there are people like that. They don't learn. They don't learn from one thing to the other. Well, they come down to the Red Sea, and, you know, people are grumbling. You know, is it because there were not enough room for the graves in Egypt? You got to bring us out here to kill us and bury us out here. And finally, Moses says, "Say, stand still and see the salvation of the Eternal." And God then opens the Red Sea. They walk through. Now, this is called in biblical language and in scholarship of the Bible, this is called salvation history. There's a German word for it. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly, but it's Heilgeschichte. And that means salvation, victory, victory of the history of victory and salvation. Okay? So it's a powerful story, and because of what was done at the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. Remember, that's a phrase, and I've preached this before. It wasn't just that the sea separated. It was that after it separated, you walk through on land that was dry at the bottom of the sea. that quickly. So you see references to the to this great salvation time. Great salvation time. It's symbolizing the salvation we are going. God is our God who saves us. God is a saving God. Listen to Micah chapter 6 and verse 4. Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. All three, two brothers and their sister, all three. These kids, they were kids at one time, and now they're servants of God. And in chapter 66 of Psalm, listen, he changed the sea to dry land. Psalm 66 and verse 6. He changed the sea to dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. Psalm 78, verse 13. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. Like this. Stand up. Stand and not fall back into the place. Separating the waters. Psalm 78, verse 52. But he led forth his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely so they did not fear, but the sea engulfed their enemies. Now here's the other part of it. The Israelites go through on dry land. They get to the other side. The Egyptians now start, and guess what? The land that was dry becomes no dry no more. It becomes, they start spinning. Now the part that the Israelites went on was dry, but now it's not dry for them. Their chariots stall. They get stalled in the middle of the sea. Boom. God lets the sea come back in on them. Destroying all their chariots. Destroying the top parts of their army. The top fighters and people that they used. Egypt then went from one of the great nations of the world down to a nothing, so to speak. Got taken over by nomadic tribes after that. They fought, you know, they lost a lot of power. Egypt, you know, really was struggling. It no longer became one of the major nations of the world. In Psalm 106 and verse 8, nevertheless, he saved them for the sake of his name, that he might make his power known. What does God do? He makes his power. And he rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the deeps as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of the one who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their adversaries. No, not one of them was left. That's Psalm 106 and verse 8. Psalm 106 verse 8 in the New Jerusalem Bible. For the sake of his name he saved them to make them known. At his rebuke the sea of reeds dried up. The waters, and the last verse there, it's this last part. It's from Psalm 106 verses 8 through 11. The last part, verse 11, the waters enveloped their enemies. Not one of them was left. Psalm 136 and verse 11. And he led Israel from the midst. God's love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And, you know, there you have the mercy, the God's covenant love. God's covenant love endures forever. Psalm 136 and verse 12. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. For his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is every, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who took his people through the wasteland, for his mercy, his covenant mercy is unchanging. We talked about that last time of covenants. Nehemiah says, with a pillar of cloud, the miracle of the Red Sea, let me just put it to you this way, is so great that it's just, it's peppered throughout the Old Testament. It's in Nehemiah. Listen to Nehemiah 9 and verse 19. Yet in your great mercy you did not forsake them in the desert. The column of cloud did not cease to lead them by day on their journey, and by a column of fire by night to lead them to the way that they should travel. In Isaiah chapter 63, beginning in verse 7, we read, I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Eternal, the praises of the Eternal, according to all that the Eternal has granted, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he granted according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindness, his hesed, his covenant mercy. He was the Savior. Listen, for he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. It was like God was being afflicted himself when they saw them. And he had mercy on them. He came to their aid. He wanted to let them go. And remember, he was in a covenant with Abraham. Your enemies are my enemies. The people who, if they hurt you, they hurt me. And that's how he calls it. And it says, you drop down. Then he remembered, this is Isaiah 63 verse 11 now. Then he remembered his people. He remembered his people of old, in the days of old of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea and with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? That miracle was so great it became in the Bible an everlasting. It's mentioned over and over and over. Who caused his glorious arm, see, who led them through the depths like the horse in the wilderness, they did not stumble. So here you are. And this is verse 14. As the cattle go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Eternal gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. God made for himself a glorious name, a reputation, a glorious reputation. He's the God of salvation. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14. However, days will surely come, says the Eternal, when it will no longer be said, as the Eternal lives who brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but rather, as the Eternal lives who brought the Israelites out of the land of the north and out of the countries in which they have been banished. I will bring them back to the land which I gave to their fathers. Now, are all the Jews back in the land of Israel right now? No. There are probably more Jews in New York than there are in the nation of Israel. There are more Jews, probably 10 times more than in this country than there are in the nation of Israel. Are they saying now, as the Eternal lives who brought the people out of the north country? Is that the mantra now? No, it's not. It's still not. So there's something coming in the future. Something coming in the future. We have not yet seen it all. This is Jeremiah 23 and verse 3. That I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them back into the pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. And then in Jeremiah 23 and verse 7, he repeats it. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Eternal, when they will no longer say, as the Eternal lives who brought the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt, but rather, as the Eternal lives who brought the descendants of the house of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands to which I have banished them, and they will again rest in their own land. So again, this is repeated. Okay, repeated actions and repeated statements. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 9, but I acted for the sake of